Good evening. Welcome to the big fight. It was supposed to have been the Prime Minister's first big effort at reaching out to the opposition after the new government was sworn in. Alas, the meeting called to look at the possible implementation of One Nation, One Election turned out to be a flop, with several opposition parties choosing not to attend. The elections are over, but some would say the simmering discontent within the opposition lingers. Others would say regional parties are trying to protect their turf, while still others would say that big national parties like the BJP have all to gain at the expense of smaller opposition parties. As we start this episode of Big Fight, here's a fact that not many may be aware of. The first general elections to the Lok Sabha and all state legislative assemblies were held together in 1951-1952. That practice continued over three subsequent general elections held in the years 57, 62 and 67. So the question is this: if it's happened once in the past, why can't it happen now? On the show tonight, Pawan Verma. I'm also joined by DP Tripathi, Neeta Chaudhary with us as well, Deshratan Nigam, Raghav Chadda, Yogendra Yadav joins us as well, Lalita Kumara Mangalam. And joining us from Kathmandu, Dr. S.Y. Qureshi, the former Chief Election Commissioner of India. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us. Now, what we'll do on this program to actually give it structure is to go through several points where I'll be talking about why some believe it's necessary, one nation, one poll, the cost, the security, what some of the concerns are. Then we'll go specifically on to why many parties believe that nothing should be changed, because many believe that it supports the ruling party, in this case, the BJP. But before that, I'd like to invite all our speakers for their one-minute introductory remarks. If you speak more than 1 minute, I'll interrupt. I'll be rude. I'll try. And then we can start up the big fight. Raghav, 1 minute.
First of all, it's futile to comment on a proposal like this when the government has not actually published a white paper or a vision document, and therefore all of us are shooting in the dark. Maybe the proposal of the government is so good that all parties agree, and maybe the proposal is so bad that nobody agrees. At this point in time, it's a mere slogan that is debated in newsrooms, and we have no clarity on what the vision of this government is vis-a-vis this. One. Number two, before we come to the desirability of this, let me first put some light on the implementability of a concept like this. Now, the proposal is that All state legislatures and the Lok Sabha will go to polls at the same time. Now, the problems in applying a concept like this is, for example, if the central government today loses majority, would the Prime Minister continue, and whether there will be president's rule, or will all state governments as well as the Lok Sabha will be dissolved and state elections will be conducted afresh?
Okay.
Let's reverse the example. What if a state legislature loses majority and is false? Then would that state be run through governor's rule via president's rule, or will all state legislatures, all 31 legislatures along with the Lok Sabha, be dissolved and elections be conducted?
Okay,
there are serious issues regarding the implementability. After that, I'll address the desirability aspect of it.
Sir.
See, the idea is already given, and I welcome the idea. It is not that the idea is not good. And as you have already pointed out, this is not a new thing. The idea is not new. 1952 to 1967, it has happened. And it did not harm the regional parties, did not harm the regional aspiration, the constitutional provisions and all. There has been no decisive damage to anything by one nation, one election. See, simultaneous elections of assemblies and Lok Sabha. Therefore, this is, as an idea, is welcome, but there are not merely practical, there are constitutional difficulties, and very, very important constitutional difficulties in it, given the entire political pluralism, emergence of various political parties in different parts of the country. So this is a new political situation, and we have to grapple with the new situation with this new idea.
I think there should be one nation, one election, and this not only includes Lok Sabha and state assemblies, but the local urban bodies and rural bodies also, all at the same time. And therefore, let's not confine it to Lok Sabha and state assembly itself. And secondly, in principle, I think many people agree it is about working about the modalities as to how to implement it. That's more important, and I have not come along a serious opposition to this concept. People want white paper, fine. People want a vision document. Yes, a committee has been formed. It will go and look into it and work out the modalities. There are various, you know, models like German models and other models are available which can be studied. And obviously, it's all about governance and also promotes federalism, which I'll explain in due course of time.
Okay. Mr. Verma?
We support the proposal of one nation, one poll. And let me give you primarily three reasons for it. First of all, frequent elections entail massive expenditure. There is one estimate by which almost 6,000 crore rupees are saved if elections are held simultaneously, as had been done in the past. Secondly, frequent elections create a policy paralysis in government, whereby it is unable to fulfill the very purpose for which it has been elected, which is governance, because the model code of conduct kicks in, and any policy decisions have to be shelved. Thirdly, I think frequent elections put a great deal of pressure on the administrative machinery. Senior officials who are there in order to implement governance targets and deliverables are diverted to election duty. And as frequently as they are, all work comes to a standstill. So let me end by saying we support it in principle. There are practical difficulties which need to be studied.
Nija.
I think the reasons why simultaneous elections are being thought of are compelling enough, which is money, governance, and the deployment of security forces. But my thing is, on the other side, the more you look at this, you know, the flip side of the story, which is that the federal spirit of the country is going to be hit. The regional parties are likely to be weakened, given that the national parties are more endowed in every way. Regional leaders will be focusing much more on winning their state election rather than focusing on the national scene. And that they have not the right to decide, the chief ministers and the regional parties don't have the right to decide when the election should be held. All this goes to weaken the federal spirit. Plus, of course, as Raghav Chadda has said, you know, what happens? That's a majority principle. If a government falls midway, you have central rule. That means by the back door, the ruling party at the center starts to rule the state, even though it may not have won the election there.
Right.
What happens if the central government falls? What is the alternative to that? Given the minuses, I would say, we need to think deeply, is this really a good idea?
Okay.
What do we really lose and what do we really gain?
Fair enough. We're going to look at a lot of possible solutions later on this program. Yogendra Yadav joins us as well. Mr. Yadav, what you have 1 minute, your views on one nation, one poll.
To my mind, Vishnu, this proposal is not a very good proposal for three reasons. Number one, because the problem that it seeks to address is not the topmost problem of political and electoral reforms in this country. It is one of the problems, one of the secondary problems. It's not the biggest problem. I don't see why the whole country should be debating this first thing in the second regime. Second, the problem that it seeks to address can actually be addressed without it. You don't need a constitution amendment. You don't need to change the nature of our polity to solve these things. And I have made three suggestions for this. Change the model code of conduct, reduce the polling days, and club a few states together. That would solve the problem. And number three, it's not a good proposal because the cost of this proposal, A, it would radically alter the parliamentary system and bring it close to the presidential system, which is not a good system for our country. And second, because it would submerge the local regional character of our politics and give an undue advantage to the national dominant party for some time to come. That's why I think the proposal should be called one nation, one election, one party, one leader. That is the essence of this proposal.
All right, fair enough. Lalitha Kumaramangalam, why do you believe, and I assume you believe this, that one nation, one election is the way forward?
Um, I will not repeat what has been said by the earlier people, the earlier speakers who supported this proposition.
Yep.
The fact is that I don't think the federal structure of this country is at risk, because if you had just seen the early elections that just took place, we had Orissa where the BJP got a fair ground, I mean a fair number of MPs, but at the state people were very clear they wanted their state leader. Similarly in Telangana, where Jagan Mohan Reddy has been able to form his government, sorry, in Andhra, where has formed a government with a sweeping majority. Now, when we talk about governance suffering, it's not merely at the center. Governance also suffers at the state. And ours being a federal system, states and center need to work together. Let me also point out that this is, as of now, merely a proposal. The Prime Minister has proposed that everybody sit down and discuss it. It's not as if it's going to be immediately brought into force or, you know, made into law in an instant or in 3 months or so. The effort is to get everybody on board,
okay,
of course.
Fair enough.
But the effort will also mean that we get everybody else's viewpoint.
Okay, Mrs. Kumaramangalam, your 1 minute is up.
And
so
I
I'll come back to you in a little bit. Right? Dr. S.Y. Qureshi, former Chief Election Commissioner of India, you've written on the subject. Your views on whether this is something that can or should be done?
You know, this is one suggestion on which there are both serious merits and serious demerits. The merits are the cost, the too much of cost, and the work does come to a standstill a bit. And they say there is policy paralysis, with which I don't agree. And also, one thing which has not been mentioned, but I would like to add, that in the heat of the election, communalism, casteism, corruption are at their peak. And once we are in the election mode all the time, these evils continue. Therefore, there are benefits. But on the other hand, 60,000 crores was spent in the last election, which means a lot of work opportunities for the poor. Poor people like repeated election. I had one slogan in a youth parliament, that jab jab chunav aata hai, gareeb ke pet mein pulao aata hai. Poor people love it. Then national and local issues getting mixed up is not a good idea.
Okay.
Therefore, there are merits and demerits, and which is why a national consensus is important. But I would like to suggest if we can look at the problem through an alternative route.
Okay, we'll look at that alternative route. Mr. Qureshi, your time for this segment is up. I'm going to look at two sets of graphics and then I'll open up the debate and let's hope we can get a big fight, a diverse range of opinions on this. Firstly, the potential adverse impact of the present situation of having two sets of elections, one at the assembly, one at the center. There is an impact on development programs, there's an impact on governance. When the model code of conduct comes into play, then the argument is that governments cannot do enough. There is massive expenditure associated with the entire election process is what a lot of people say. In fact, these are all details, common sense at one level, but it's all been outlined in a Niti Aayog report of 2014. It's a 36-page report which actually had a lot of details and suggestions. The prolonged engagement of security forces, that's also a matter of concern. The numbers are actually fairly staggering in terms of security personnel used. Is one nation, one election less expensive? This is the argument which is raised by many that, look, why do we need to spend more when we can potentially spend less? The 2014 Lok Sabha election, just in terms of the organization of the elections, I'm not talking about how much political parties spend, according to the study, cost 3,870 crore rupees. Now, the Niti Aayog report says that the cost of combined elections, if it were to take place, would be in the ballpark of 4,500 crore rupees. So obviously it would be a far cheaper affair. Raghav Chadda, what's wrong with these suggestions? What's wrong with the view that, look, we need governance and we can't constantly be having an election somewhere in our country every few months?
There are some merits to the proposal of one nation, one poll, but the demerits outweigh the merits. For example, they say that it will help in saving the election expenditure. Election expenditure will be saved, but political parties spend approximately 60,000 odd crores. The Election Commission spends about 1,500 odd crores. What you need to do, the fix to this, is bringing in election expenditure reforms for which various committees have sat over the years.
Without saying, so therefore, that's a separate point. But just in terms of what it would entail, aren't these all benefits?
Please
less security, lower expenditure in organizing the elections.
I'm going to address that.
Yes.
So what needs to be done is that the expenditure, the election expenditure, which is in bulk, that is the amount spent by political parties, need to be curbed, and there needs to be a ceiling. There is only a ceiling.
But that
on
can
the
happen even in this system.
It can be, but please understand, it is a very small merit. There are various big demerits,
like
escaping political accountability,
like
destroying India's federal structure.
He's mentioning is that, look, costs need to come down of political parties as well. Right? Because that, I presume your argument is, will bring down corruption.
Before you go
in
to
the election,
95% to 96% of the overall money spent in an election is the money spent by political parties.
All right.
Not even 5% is the money that is spent by the Election Commission in conducting the elections.
Okay.
And we can make less statues and ensure that the diversity and federalism of
India is preserved. Go ahead, Mr. Barba, go ahead. Yeah.
There is no contradiction whatsoever between trying to enforce greater ethics in the amounts of money spent during elections and holding simultaneous polls. We have a vice of money being spent illicitly during elections. That is a separate issue that needs to be tackled and can be done in parallel.
Yes.
So therefore, I think this argument of Raghav doesn't hold. There are other arguments, not demerits, but practical difficulties in implementing a good proposal. Firstly, there has to be a very major amendment to the Constitution. Articles 172, 174, 182, 184, Article 356 would need to be amended, as also the Representation of People's Act would need to be amended. Secondly, and Dr. Qureshi is with us, we have to see whether the Election Commission, with its current wherewithal, is in a position to carry out an election of this magnitude across the nation at one time or not. That the Election Commission is the best to answer. So these are questions that need to be examined, and for that reason I welcome the fact that after the first meeting a committee has been set up where you can take on board.
That's a step forward. Yogendra Yadav, would you say that just the attitude of so many opposition parties in the last few days, Mayawati saying that, no, I'm not going to come because had it been on electronic voting machines, I would have come. Mamata Banerjee, presently in a scrap with the centres, has said she's absolutely not interested in personally coming. Other opposition parties not willing to even talk about this. Isn't that fundamentally a problem? This is something that's existed in the past. We just want to look at whether we can do it again. That's the stage that we are in. What's wrong with talking?
Number one, we have a culture in our country of oppositional suspicion and opposition for the sake of opposition. BJP practiced it perfectly when they were in opposition. Others are simply returning the favor. So I don't take very strong moral positions on it. The problem in our country is that we cannot discuss the merits or demerits of a proposal on its own, which is what seems to be happening. But I do understand the anxiety of opposition parties. The anxiety is that by this forced clubbing and the priority accorded to this particular piece of reform suddenly at the beginning of second tenure, you naturally begin to ask yourself, okay, why is the Prime Minister so keen on electoral reforms? He has shown no urgency or attention to electoral reforms. And why does he pick up this one item out of all the things that the Election Commission has been recommending, Association for Democratic Reforms has been recommending, all kinds of things? Why this one?
What is the motive? I think that's the question what's being asked. First off the top, off the bat, why is the BJP trying to do this? Because the point being raised is that it's by far the most dominant party in all senses of the word, certainly financially. It would stand to gain if elections were clubbed together. So opposition parties are saying, no, wait, look, where does that leave us, particularly the smaller parties? So what's the real agenda here?
Vishnu, I think it's just plain politics to say that there is an agenda here. The agenda is very clear, that the Prime Minister and the BJP, if that's how you want to put it, want to have everybody to look at this and examine it. There are, of course, pros and cons, like there is for every other issue. But money in this country that can be saved is money that can be spent on all sorts of reforms. I agree that the amount of money that political parties spend on elections is massive, and there should be reform there. But there is nothing that says that the two cannot go hand in hand, for one. For another, let me point out that when parties are fighting central and state elections together, there will probably be a decrease even in the amount of money they spent on their own elections. Parties spending money on elections.
I see what you're saying. You've come on to another point.
The Elections Commission,
specifically to the point that she's mentioning, that there is no agenda, that it's been done, from an honest standpoint. What's wrong with that?
The agenda is to escape political accountability. The agenda is to distort
this
electoral judgment of people.
It's for accountability.
You look at the merits and the demerits of the proposal. I'm not saying that they'll probably be able to save about 1,000 odd crores. But is that the money that you would save and outweigh all the advantages of the existing system? They will escape political accountability.
Okay, no weapons, political accountability.
Like no confidence motion will be
behind
over.
All of this.
Regional issues will be relegated.
Reply to that, then I'll come to you, Mr.
Regional issues will be relegated to the background. And there'll be only one issue on the basis of which
entire country will go to court. We try and shout each other out of this.
I don't think any regional issue or constitutional issue is going to be overshadowed by this idea. It has never happened in the past. It will not happen again. As a matter of fact, in 1967 elections, which were one country, one election, there were various regional forces that emerged in more than 80 states in this country.
Okay.
There are examples for you to consider. Second question is, as an idea, there is a question of democratic discipline. That democratic discipline is strengthened by the idea. This is just the idea. It is at this stage of consultation.
Democratic discipline in what sense?
Democratic discipline in the sense that you have one country, one election. So there are assemblies and parliament, simultaneous election. They are in a position to complete their terms and give a stable governance at national, state and local levels also. Local levels, rural, these institutions also in the countryside. So this is not merely just assembly and parliament. This is also local self-government that these elections play their role. Finally, people are not looking at it that a new kind of political culture develops by the practices of the political parties. When they are involved in a new process, a political culture develops. A new kind of political culture can develop. There are very many practical difficulties at the moment, as I have already pointed out.
Okay, just one second, sir. Mr. Qureshi has a point to make. Go ahead, Dr. Qureshi, go ahead with this.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, there are two, three points which were mentioned. One about the cost. The cost can be cut down easily by the government if there is a cap on the political party expenditure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, and actually, the maximum expenditure is being incurred by the political party.
Yeah.
The other is whether Election Commission can conduct the election in shorter periods. Certainly, I've written several times that we can conduct it in as fewer days as 33 days instead of 2.5 to 3 months over 7 phases. Only if we can get more paramilitary forces, which is possible.
No, but Dr. Qureshi, is it genuinely possible to get more paramilitary forces? If you look at the deployment of paramilitary forces, and let's bring up this next point of mine, the third graphic, the issue of security in 2019 in these elections, 2.7 lakh paramilitary personnel were deployed, 20 lakh state police and home guards were deployed. These are staggering numbers. What is the total sanctioned strength which exists in this country? 10 lakh paramilitary and 21 lakh state police. 21 lakh state police is the sanctioned strength. 20 lakh were used along with home guards in this election. So, Dr. Qureshi, where do we get more policemen and policewomen from?
No, let me tell you, 2014 elections were held with 800 companies. Now, and that is when I wrote that if we get 3,500 companies at one go, I'm told that this time there were over 3,000 companies. So where was the need to hold the election in 7 phases? It could have been cut down because the number of forces available to us, made available to Election Commission, was already many times over. We need to discuss that. Okay. With all the 4 chairs, why did we have to do it in 7 phases? Why not in 1 or 2?
All right. The point he talks about, fewer phases, but perhaps the present structure. You had a point, sir.
I just want to say that if the goal that we have in front of us is that of rationalizing the electoral process to the extent possible as a reform measure, then intermediary steps that we take, like bunching together assembly elections, reducing the duration of the election schedule,
yep,
reforming the model code of conduct to see if some of the stringency that it now entails is diluted without affecting its efficacy. I think these are steps that can be taken as part, as a means to the end, to examine whether we, the whole nation, can have one nation, one poll.
Right.
Let me also add.
So they're not, yes.
So there was a point made by Raghav right in the beginning where he said that what happens if a government falls? Now that is always a possibility, and that's a practical difficulty we,
yep,
need to face.
Yes.
But you referred yourself to the German model.
Yes.
And let me say, democracy as a practice, especially in the world's largest democracy, is not written in stone. We reform as we,
yep,
go along. We adapt, we change, we modify.
Yep.
There is the German model whereby you can't bring a government down through a vote of no,
right,
confidence unless you can simultaneously,
right,
move
and,
a vote
and
of
we've
confidence.
Got our own model and we need to explore the
and
way.
And we have to see whether
all
it's
right
possible.
Raghav, and then Yogendra Yadav has a point to make. Nita, I've seen, I'll
governance
come to you as well. Yeah, Raghav.
No political party, yes, in this country that would say that electoral reforms are not needed. In fact, Aam Aadmi Party within the first 6 months...
No, but that doesn't go without... That's a given.
Yes.
And no one can disagree with what you're saying, bringing down costs, ending corruption or fighting corruption. But what's wrong with one election and in one
what
nation?
What is wrong is that...
You're raising points not related to the question.
A political party,
yes,
wants to convert this democracy of ours into one nation, one election, one party, one leader,
okay,
one ideology.
Right,
and
right,
therefore,
yes,
what will happen?
Right.
The three problems of
this
a
is
proposal
all about,
like this.
No, one second, Nija first, yeah, then you.
Just give me 30 seconds
no,
to
no, no,
highlight
sec,
the problems.
We've got
discussing
plenty of time for you to discuss, Nija, and then you. Yes, Nija.
Look, I wanted
waiting
to make quick points in,
yes,
response to what has been discussed. I say this. For instance, the Odia model has been referred to,
yes,
saying that they have voted, you know, for the BJD, the local party, despite elections being held simultaneously in Odisha.
Yes.
But I would ask you, suppose the elections, state elections in Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh were held with the Lok Sabha election. Would the outcome have been different?
Okay.
Can I
quite possibly? No. So
that
I'm saying... In, you know, with a dominant party, and today we are looking at a scenario.
So regional issues will get subsumed by a national objective of the larger parties.
Absolutely.
Right?
So the local,
Deshrata Nigam, how would you reply?
The
this is stated as being
value
the biggest problem of this model.
I don't agree.
Just getting to this,
I don't,
yeah,
agree with that proposition. The three states where BJP lost last time, all the surveys at that point of time pointed that the people had decided to vote for the Congress during that. During all the three states, but at the same time they referred 2019 they'll be voting for BJP. They had at that point of time, you know, made a,
okay,
distinction between those two. Now, secondly, I'll here quote Mr. K.C. Tyagi,
yes,
who made a very interesting point. He says the election expenditure, without changing any laws which are there, can go down. Because he says the amount of expenditure I had to incur while contesting election would spread into various candidates.
Yes.
And that would bring down the expenditure because then I don't have to spend everything. There would be 5 assemblies within my parliamentary constituency. They'll also take the expenditure. There'll be local bodies elections. So therefore that single X amount would get spread and everybody will not have to spend X, Y, Z amount independently. So that would bring down the expenditure on its own logic.
But just one study, and maybe we are quoting the same thing.
Yeah.
This is also in the Niti Aayog report. It says, and I quote from the Niti Aayog report, a recent study published by IDFC Institute,
yes,
concludes, and I,
yes,
quote,
yes,
on average, there is a 77% chance that the Indian voter will vote for the same party for both the state and the centre,
yeah,
when elections are held simultaneously, meaning in about 77% of the total assembly constituencies, the winners came from the same party as that of the parliamentary constituencies. The authors have studied all sorts of electoral data for four rounds of Lok Sabha elections in 1999, 2004, 2009 and 2014.
So therefore, it will influence the voting behavior of the voter.
Let me
it may not that. Influence it to an extent. May I just 15 seconds, Vishnu? It may not influence it to an extent where the results will change. But from 77 people, 77% of the people
that is the only problem here.
For the same party.
Okay, one second. Yogendra Yadav had a point to make and I'll come to Mr. Verma in a second. Mr. Yadav, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to me. I think the point about security forces is completely besides the point, because all that Mr. Qureshi said and you said, Vishnu, applies to the Lok Sabha election. Of course, it's very complex. The requirements are too much. Yes. You can't do it like this. But what we are discussing in this show are the state assembly elections that happen in between two national elections. Can they be shortened? The answer is yes, of course they can be shortened because the whole country is not going to polls. Similarly, the point about money, I think money is a simple, plain red herring in this entire debate. Honestly, no one has money saving in their mind when they are doing something like this. Yes, for the simple reason that if you are at all concerned about reducing expenditure in Indian elections, there are two or three things you would like to do. Number one, you would put a cap on how much political parties can spend. This has been recommended by Election Commission, by ADR, by every single committee.
No, but there
why
is
don't
the
you
cost
begin
of
with
the
most obvious
itself.
Suggestion?
There is a straightforward saving of 1,000 crores according to the Niti Aayog. You can challenge these numbers if elections
Vishnu,
are held together.
Yes, so no, I'm not challenging those numbers, Vishnu. These are reasonable numbers. Vishnu, I'm not challenging this. I'm just putting it in perspective. If the overall expenditure is something like 60 to 70,000 crore rupees, then please remember the point that Raghav had also made earlier, the official expenditure made by Election Commission and Government of India is a tiny proportion of that. And why should a significant saving in that tiny amount be our top national priority? And why should we...
That's just one priority. Pawar Verma, go ahead. Yes.
While there are very simple ways of... While there are very simple ways of implementing what the Election Commission has been suggesting,
okay, fair enough. Power
along,
Barma,
why
and then
not
Nidia.
Begin
Power,
with item number Power, one?
Go ahead, yes.
Why
let
begin
add,
with item number
yes,
four?
Yes. Let me add that I agree with the proposition that electoral reform as a generic whole needs to be taken up, and it's not good to take piecemeal changes.
Yes.
The Election Commission has made countless recommendations for comprehensive electoral reform, which have not drawn the attention of either government or parliament or political parties because they are inconvenient. So therefore, comprehensive electoral reform is something which is desirable. Now to pick up one aspect of which it is one nation, one poll, perhaps may not be the only step that needs to be taken.
Correct.
We need to have a good look at what needs to change otherwise as well in the electoral
okay.
process.
I think there's no disagreement with what the other suggestions are. It's just, yes, go ahead, Nidja.
I would say very simply that let's not make money the overwhelming reason for going in for this reform.
So what should be
you
the
know,
overwhelming reason?
Governance.
I'm okay. saying if 1,000 crores is spent, surely our parliamentary democracy is worth 1,000 crores. And if you make money the driving...
But not
logic,
the only.
Not the only. Where is the
so
money?
So governance is the driving
no,
logic.
No. I'm
is
making
what,
a different point.
Saying,
I'm making a different point.
Efficacy of the democratic system.
All that is true. But if you make money, give it that kind of importance, that's the reason for going in for reform. Then tomorrow
no,
you'll
one of
tomorrow.
Many
no, no, Vishnu. Tomorrow you'll
reasons.
Make an argument.
Add
elections cost money. No elections. Parliament costs money. No parliament. That's the kind of logic
right.
you'll be
no, no, we need to go
out.
Beyond that. We,
so
I take that point.
Money,
yes.
money,
no, no, we are not. We're talking about
not
governance, we're talking
money,
about security, and we're talking
money
about money.
Is not an
among,
issue.
And there are lots of other reasons
see,
as well.
See, money is not an issue.
Frequent elections, graphic 4, one second. Frequent elections disrupt normal life. Elections are polarizing events. Caste differences emerge.
Yes, yes.
Communal differences emerge. During these times, they need to end as well. So these are lots of reasons why... Multiple elections have down points.
They
yes.
continuously
happen.
They continuously happen throughout the year, every 6 months. The points that
Can
you
I
have raised,
something?
And therefore that is one of the important grounds. Now somebody talked about motive and agenda. You know, if you start now, probably this will get start implemented by 2029. Because this is the kind of complications that are involved. Therefore, this is the exercise in the right earnest.
Okay.
Now, secondly, it promotes federalism. Why I say so? The concept of federalism is related to governance. Central cannot rule the entire country from one place.
No.
Therefore, the concept of federalism came to take care of regional aspirations and to do governance at the local level. Once the governance becomes a central issue and the elections are all about governance, then the basic structure which is there in the constitution, that there should be federalism, there should be a government for a fixed tenure, and then there should not be a cutting of the tenure. And governance becomes a central issue.
What about the aspirations of local political parties?
It takes care of that. I'm smaller than you, sir.
Just give me some time. First of all, the argument that is being given, Vishnu, the argument that is being given that there will be policy paralysis if more frequent elections happen is a wrong concept, because I'll give you an example. Prime Minister Modi conducted, perhaps carried out the biggest change, that is demonetization, weeks prior to the UP elections.
Yes.
And therefore, if you need to reduce the period of model code of conduct where the governments are not asked to carry out big reforms, you reduce the model code of conduct period instead of conducting an election in 7 phases, you conduct it in 2 phases, 3 phases, that's one. Number two, if frequent elections happen, what happens if a voter, for example, a voter in Delhi gets to vote on 2 occasions in a bracket of 5 years for the Vidhan Sabha as well as for the Lok Sabha.
Okay.
Now, it gives an opportunity to politicians like us to go back to the people, to get reminded of our promises.
Yes.
It establishes accountability, and if we have done something wrong, it gives us an opportunity to course correct.
Okay.
So therefore, politicians going to people on a frequent basis is in fact strengthening the democracy.
BJP will be in a poll position.
It gives BJP poll position. They'll be able to reap economies of scale.
If elections happen, it's being designed to help the BJP. That's why you wanted to be first in the agenda of this session of parliament.
No, it isn't.
Then what is it? Why did you pick this topic first?
Look, let's be
you wanted
clear
to cash
here.
In on the enormous the political success of the BJP in these elections. You wanted to ensure that going forward,
no.
this is an advantage you work with.
No. Vishnu, if we had wanted to do that.
You could have? Really? How?
Vishnu, if we had wanted to do that, we could have just introduced the bills into Parliament. We have 303 MPs.
Two-third majority
right.
in Rajya Sabha
we
is required to pass
We have asked for all political parties to come to the table in order to discuss
The way they're merging with TDP.
Okay. Yes. We all know that in 2020, probably we will also have a majority in the Rajya Sabha. But let's not go into the politics of this. This is sort of turning into one of those, again, those Tutu Mehmet discussions, which are quite futile. The fact is that the BJP this time has come back to power, not because there were simultaneous elections, but because the people chose one party over the others. Now, let's leave that aside. Agreed that there are several reforms that are needed in the way elections are held in India. Agreed that these reforms should probably, at the very least, go hand in hand with what is being proposed. But that is what the whole proposal is about, that everybody come to the table and let's discuss it. Yes, there is a
okay,
need
I take the point about the need
smaller,
to get all parties together
to
discuss
to
it,
place.
But I want to bring in
yes,
Mr. Dr. Qureshi as well
is,
and Yogendra
done.
Yadav. And I want to introduce my last
is.
Couple of set of graphics to look at the way forward and how this can actually
it's
work.
It's ridiculous to say the BJP is in pole position.
Okay, all right. You are. I think from your standpoint, I'm sure that's great. But hang on one moment. Should India continue with separate polls? Let's bring up graphic number 5. Voters, and we've said some of this, voters may vote on national issues for state polls. Smaller parties may be worried. Regional parties would be marginalized. Larger parties would dominate. The depth and breadth of Indian democracy would be undermined. We've had a debate on this. But now, if one is to implement one nation, one poll, how can it be done? The Niti Aayog study actually has a couple of steps, and I'd like to debate those. Should the term of the current governments be extended or curtailed? Because you have to pick a particular date by which time it's all synchronized. So then some state governments would lose, perhaps the central government would lose. Some would have an extended tenure, some would have a curtailed tenure. And what would happen if a government loses its majority midterm? I think you were mentioning
yes.
this point earlier on. The seventh point, graphic number 7, if we can bring up, some of the solutions to this simultaneous elections should happen in two phases. Phase one should coincide with the Lok Sabha elections. Phase two should happen midway in the term of the Lok Sabha. Essentially, every 2.5 years, there are elections which take place. There is greater accountability that way. Dr. Qureshi, is that the way forward? Dr. Qureshi, can you hear me? I don't think he can hear me quite clearly. Would you like to take that, an election once every 2.5 years? First as a step to regularize the process, to synchronize it, and then going forward, we can't do it all at once.
All at once, you know, not in the initial phase, but I would go for two phases election to begin with, and then finally synchronizing it as one nation, one pool. And that would also take care. And curtailing, you know, should be the last resort. Extension, in my opinion, not many people will oppose the extension.
Okay.
And if it is extended, I think most of the political parties would go with it.
Okay.
Raghav, yes, to say
first
something.
Of all, Mr. Tripathi, go ahead.
First of all,
see,
the only
I don't
half a second, Raghav.
I think this two-phase election, 2.5 years, 2.5 years, is impractical, and it should not be done also. It is undesirable also. You should not create new situation. We should go by the constitutional provisions which are already there.
Okay.
If there is any problem, supposing the government falls midway, there are provisions for this, and we have to go according
but
to those.
But there would be new provisions which would be introduced.
Yes. No, but then new proposals can be introduced after a debate. Now, this idea...
No, we aren't denying a debate, sir.
Yeah.
There has to be a debate.
See, there is an issue of principle and modalities. Those two distinctions have to be maintained. Modalities can be worked out.
One sec, he's been waiting. I'll come to you.
Half a minute, maybe slightly more than that.
Yes.
First of all, the only example that we have of premature dissolution of assemblies without breakdown of constitutional machinery or extension is that during the emergency, and we know what happened.
No, but there
now,
are lots
even
of
if
suggestions.
I'll come to that. I want to address this suggestion that the government...
See, what about this mission of
EMS
Nambudipad government in Kerala? You don't know 1959
it
begins.
They say that there needs to be two elections in a bracket of 5 years.
Much
now, let us take the example of the Karnataka government.
Yes.
The JDS Congress government was formed 8-9 months prior to this very day. If that government falls, will for the next 1.5 years there will be president's rule? Will the governor rule? Whether it will be the
German
Modi government that will rule?
Or
will there be fresh
German
elections?
Okay, one second.
What will happen?
Second, Yogendra Yadav, would
lastly,
you like to come
Vishnu,
in?
It was debated in the Constituent Assembly that no government should have a fixed term. The
okay,
government
one second,
is in
Yogendra
office
Yadav, there are
only
lots of
till
steps, and I want
it enjoys
one second, everybody
the support
here. I want to go
of
across
the House.
Yogendra Yadav and Dr. Qureshi.
Yes.
Case number one, Yogendra Yadav, this is a suggestion in the Niti Aayog report. Assembly gets dissolved within 15 months of phase one elections. The indicative solutions are immediate elections with a term of the new assembly lasting till the next round of the first phase one elections. Case two, if it gets dissolved within 15 to 30 months of the elections, then president's rule or other temporary arrangements for the government till the next set of elections. Case 3, between 30 to 45 months, if the assembly gets dissolved, then immediate elections with the term lasting of the new assembly till the next round of elections. So these are suggestions. What's wrong with them?
What's wrong with them is that we all began by creating a solution to a problem. And we end up designing greater problems than the problems we set out to solve. This is why I find the whole thing so funny. There is a problem on the bridge on Yamuna. There is a traffic difficulty. Then you would obviously say, open up a lane, maybe expand the bridge, maybe create a new bridge. But if someone says this changes, change the course of the river, you would say, what's wrong with you? That's what I think about it. There is a problem. It's a limited problem. Find ways of solving it instead of ways which would create even more problem than that. Why are we doing it? I really honestly don't understand.
We may not necessarily be doing it, we're debating it.
State and central voting in a black and white term. I think we need to. Just one that last point, Vishnu.
Yes.
Of course, we should debate. What surprises me is that the entire nation is debating something which has never been among the top five recommendations of electoral reforms in this country. There's something odd about it.
Okay.
I think the point about state assembly vote and Lok Sabha vote is being discussed in very black and white terms in this particular debate. Yes, there have been instances where people have voted for one party, later on voted for some other party. That's not what we are discussing. What we are discussing is whether it gives one kind of party, a national dominant party, a certain advantage. The advantage could be 2%, 3%, 4%, but it could be critical. Yes, so what it would do is that it would change the level playing ground slightly. It will be tilted. This is what we are discussing.
Dr. Qureshi,
we
haven't heard from him. I'll come to you next. I promise you. Dr. Qureshi, all of these suggestions which have been made about when the president needs to come in, if there is dissolution of the House or of the Assembly, either the president would be in charge or perhaps there would be a fresh election which takes place. It depends on the tenure. Do you agree with any of these proposals? This is to ensure that once every 5 years we have elections. So there are ways of ensuring something happens if... Yes.
Vishnu, please allow me to come back to the basic issue which you referred to in the context of Niti Aayog. The original proposal of the Prime Minister 5 years ago was at 3 tiers of democracy, the Panchayati Raj, the Vidhan Sabha and Parliament. Now, 30 lakh Panchayati Raj members are elected every year, and there are 4,120 MLAs and 543 MPs. Very conveniently, coolly, we have stopped talking with the Panchayati Raj. Now, holding all three elections together from the point of view of election commission is the most logical and convenient thing to do. Why? Because the voter is the same, polling booth is the same, polling machinery, the security, they're all the same. The voter comes and instead of one machine, he presses fingers for three machines. And that is the system we have found, I have seen personally, in many countries, developed and developing countries. How come we have stopped talking of parliamentary, the Panchayati Raj election? And then Niti Aayog is diluting even the Vidhan Sabha with such diluted proposal. Why are we giving so much of time? And considering that Parliament has not even started debating, just after the oath taken, we are talking of a reform, which we have been talking about for 5 years in the last 5 years.
So you find the timing suspicious, right? You find the timing suspicious.
I mean, I don't understand what was
but
the
Dr. Qureshi,
is it not
true? You have been quoted in this report of the Niti Aayog having said, and I quote, having to face electorate more than once every 5 years enhances the accountability of politicians and keeps them on their toes, and B, many jobs are created during the election, boosting the economy at the grassroots level. This is a statement that's been attributed to you. If this is the case, then why are you questioning that process now?
No. All that I'm saying is, in fact, in my opening statement in your show, well, there are advantages and there are disadvantages. I have mentioned all of them, and you're quoting some of them. Therefore, I have talked of a national debate. But why is the national debate missing out a very important point that first the Panchayati Raj election, 30 lakh elected representatives, they have been eliminated from the debate. Please debate them now.
Okay.
And then when you're diluting election by 50%, why is there such a debate?
One second.
On
we have a reply. We have an answer to that specific point.
In
yes.
fact, I began by talking all the three levels of the elections. And this proposal is not confined to State Assembly and Lok Sabha. It is about the entire elections. Now, secondly, the naysayers on this panel clearly undermine the wisdom and maturity of the voters. That's one biggest point. They think they will unnecessarily give advantage to a particular party. They decide, they think, and then they vote. And now, secondly, when you talk of such kind of, pessimistic presumptions coming out from the people, not in principle, but about modalities for which a committee has already been formed, then governance is one thing which is a casualty. It goes in the background. It is all about grabbing power. It's all about being in power. And you're not talking about governance at the same point. Regional parties will be eliminated. They will not be. Let us trust our voters. And they have shown in this election that they are very mature.
2 minutes. Voters are mature. Don't to judge them.
I think, Vishnu, as I said earlier,
yes.
You should not insult the intelligence of the voter.
Yeah.
And I think as far
studies
as...
Studies say that 77% would vote for the National
Party. There is a study
party.
And there are enough examples to the contrary.
I can which have shown
the maturity of the voter in making the difference between a parliamentary election and what their choices in the state. If you will pardon a bit of parochialism, in Bihar, for instance, the voter will, for the state assembly, choose Nitish Kumar.
even if for the parliamentary election, he has Narendra Modi in mind as in the last instance. So therefore, I'm saying let's not insult the intelligence of the voter.
Nirja, go ahead. Last comment to you. Yes.
Just 3-4 points I want to make very quickly.
You've got 1 minute left. Yes.
You know, truncating or prolonging the life of parliament or state assemblies, will it affect the basic structure of the constitution?
It's bound
that's something
to, isn't
the courts will have probably take a note
it
of.
Will not. It won't. Second Why? Point, I want precedent. To.
No, not about precedent.
For the first four elections, you had simultaneous.
How will it change anything?
No, but you truncate or you prolong the life.
India will be from a parliamentary democracy, become a presidential form of
government.
How can it be?
It was only what in 67,
right?
That we moved.
Please understand, federalism.
When there were some states with
federalism, diversity, parliamentary form of government. These are essential as per Keswananda Bharti, part of the basic structure. All these stand to get altered.
The court will take you.
Certainly not.
Second point I want to make is, you know, much is being made of the German principle. You know, you have to have a majority when you bring down a no confidence motion, an alternative government in mind. Now, suppose you can't cobble together an alternative government, but you have a very unresponsive government. Suppose there is protests on the streets, you have people, you know, the government coming down with a heavy hand. One second.
So the point
in that kind of a scenario, do you lump this unresponsive government for 5 years? That's point number two. I think we should have a discussion on all this, a national debate. It's called for. It's a very good thing. I think the opposition
think
parties need
Vishnu,
to cooperate.
There are scenarios in which a government has to go, may need to go. Yeah. Who's in charge then? There is a solution to that also. Again, it depends on time. It depends on whether there'll be fresh elections or there'll be the president.
The exception that may happen does not negate a desirable norm.
But Vishnu, my last point is, on the committee that's been formed, I think you should have not just the politicians, but experts from all fields of life to give their views.
No one is trying
I think they
to,
always consult experts.
We are going over now.
Please, yes, please understand. If there is bleeding happening on your knee, you apply the bandage on the knee. If your index finger is bleeding, you apply the bandage on the index finger. You don't bandage your entire body just because your index finger is bleeding. Therefore, find solutions to reduce the MCC. Find solution to bring in expenditure reforms. Don't bring a constitutional amendment and change the parliamentary form of government.
We take your point that we want to change the structure of anything, but will this change equilibrium within our system, just feeding off the words that you're using, the adjectives? One way or the other, this is a debate that's going to continue. The question is how many parties in the opposition are willing to embrace the debate. It's not necessarily embracing a change because that's a far way away, but embracing the debate in the spirit of democracy, in the spirit of this program, is that something that's going to happen? I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Out of time on The Big Fight, time for this short break.